Now, Jesus had something to say about the church being the light of the world. I was reading something this week that I thought was a great picture. Do people know why is it that Britain is warmer than it should be, given its place in the world? Why is it in the winter we don't get as cold as places like Poland, which are kind of at the same level, the same latitude in the world as we are? Does anybody know why that is? Because there's the Gulf Stream. Exactly. The Gulf Stream passes us, which means that this part of Europe is warmer than it otherwise would be in the winter. We don't get normally the freezing cold winters that many parts of Europe get. So the idea that I read this week was that the Church of Jesus is meant to be like the Gulf Stream. Yeah? The whole community is meant to be warmer because we are here when things are cold. The Gulf Stream can't stop winter from happening. It doesn't stop snow from falling, but it raises the temperature compared to what it otherwise would be. And I believe that God has put his church on the earth to be a force for peace, to be people who show what it means to love each other. And our calling in the world is to be a peaceful community. What we're going to do now is we're going to read from Proverbs chapter 12. So let's hear from God's word together.
To learn, you must love discipline. It is stupid to hate correction.
The Lord approves of those who are good, but he condemns those who plan wickedness.
Wickedness never brings stability, but the godly have deep roots.
A worthy wife is her husband's joy and crown. A shameful wife saps his strength.
The plans of the godly are just. The advice of the wicked is treacherous.
The words of the wicked are like murderous ambush, but the words of the godly save lives.
The wicked die and disappear, but the family of God stays firm.
Everyone admires a person with good sense, but a warped mind is despised.
Better to be an ordinary person with a servant than to be a self-important person but have no food.
The godly are concerned for the welfare of their animals, but even the kindness of the wicked is cruel.
A hard worker has plenty of food, but a person who chases fantasy has no sense.
Thieves are jealous of each other's loot, while the godly bear their own fruit.
The wicked are trapped by their own words, but the godly escapes such trouble.
People can get many things, good things, by the words they say. The work of their hands also gives them many benefits.
Fools think their own way is right, but the wise listen to others.
A fool is quick-tempered, but a wise person stays calm even when insulted.
An honest witness tells the truth. A false witness tells lies.
Some people make cutting remarks, but the words of the wise bring healing.
Truthful words stand the test of time, but lies are soon exposed.
Deceit fills hearts that are plotting evil. Joy fills hearts that are planning peace.
No harm comes to the godly, but the wicked have their fill of trouble.
The Lord hates those who don't keep their word, but he delights in those who do.
The wise don't make a show of their knowledge, but fools broadcast their foolishness.
Work hard and become a leader. Be lazy and become a slave.
Worry weighs a person down. An encouraging word cheers a person up.
The godly give good advice to their friends. The wicked lead them astray.
Lazy people don't even cook the game they catch, but the diligent make use of everything they find.
The way of the godly leads to life. Their path does not lead to death.
This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we're thinking about wisdom and peace today. We've been looking at various aspects of wisdom from the book of Proverbs. And there's about 20 chapters in the book of Proverbs, which are one-liners given to us one after the other. They seem to be pretty randomly put together, so we've just been reading out a chapter each week. But in preaching, trying to pick up some of the themes from this book. So if we are going to be this Christian Gulf Stream, if we're going to make the world a warmer place by who we are, how do we go about it? One of the things I love about the book of Proverbs is that it is seriously down to earth. It's just very practical. So I want to give you some of the one-liners from the book of Proverbs. There's the one that we had from the Proverbs 25 that we looked at when the children are in this morning. Like one who takes away someone's coat on a cold day, or like someone who pours vinegar on a wound, is one who sings songs to a heavy heart. The modern jargon word for what that is talking about is empathy. It's about an ability to get alongside other people and relate to how they are really feeling. And we don't bring peace to the world by telling people that they ought to be happy. It's as useful as pouring vinegar onto a wound. When we mentioned that earlier on in the service, there was quite a reaction from people going like, no, don't do it. And part of learning to be at peace with each other is about appreciating that sometimes we are sad. And I think in the church, we have to keep trying to puncture this idea that in church, everybody else is happy, and I'm the one who's come here struggling this morning. If you are struggling in your life at the moment, I tell you for sure, you are not alone in this place today. Please don't feel any pressure that you ought to be happy in this place. Now, having said that, it is right, as the song that we sang earlier says, to think about the reasons that we should give praise to God. I mean, somebody said earlier on in the service, you know, God is bigger than my little problems. And I think sometimes we say things like that, and it's like we're trying to say, no, I'm remembering, you know, compared to the great size of God, they are little, but from where I am today, they're not little at all. One route towards peace is trying to grasp how we all feel about things and accepting it and working with people as they are and not going up to them and singing as we acted out in a silly way this morning. If you're happy and you know it, clap your hands. Here's some other one-liner wisdom from the book of Proverbs. Like a madman who is shooting fiery arrows of death is. Can anybody finish the quote? These are not well-known texts, I don't think. Like a madman who is shooting fiery arrows of death is someone who tricks his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Ever had that done to you? The person who winds you up and says, oh, I was just joking, I'm just kidding, I'm just teasing. Not good. The book of Proverbs says that can be really destructive. You don't bring about peace by behaving in that sort of way. What else have we got? Oh, I love this one. I mean, we mentioned this when we were talking about words a couple of weeks ago, but he kisses with the lips the one who replies with straight words. The person who speaks honestly and straightforwardly, rather than going around the houses, is doing more for peace than the person who dances around not quite able to tell the truth. I read a slogan recently, and like all slogans, they have their limits. But the slogan was clarity is kind. And sometimes when we don't want to be clear about things, sometimes we don't quite say it, and then we get upset with people because they haven't done what we wanted them to do, even though we didn't quite explain it properly. In a relationship of peace, in a good relationship, we are able to speak the truth to one another in love, as it puts it in the New Testament. Of course, when we want to speak to each other, how we say it is every bit as important as what we say, perhaps even more important. And we don't want to, you know, we can't go around just saying, oh, I'm saying this in love, and use this as an excuse to say things that perhaps don't help. But straightforward speech is in the end, the best way to peace, according to the book of Proverbs. Here's another of my favorite ones. And this one is very relevant to me, because I am a morning person, okay? I am the sort of person, I wake up in the morning and I am awake. And I am ready to face the new day. I'm not saying this because it's particularly good, it's just how I am. It can be very annoying. You know, I mean, if I wake up an hour before the alarm goes off, I am ready to go. And that could get me into trouble. But it says in the book of Proverbs that if you bless your neighbor in a loud voice early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. And one of the things that I've had to learn is that not everybody is like me, and that some people need at least 3 cups of coffee to get them going in the morning. I read in a book somebody wrote recently, you know, this person will do anything for you as long as it's after 9 a.m. Anybody identify with that one? Yeah, some of us do. Okay, so those of us who are early morning people, beware, be aware, the book of Proverbs has got something to say to you. The book of Proverbs has got quite a lot to say about confidence breaking. It talks about that there are some people who really want to have a relationship with you, but there are some people who repeat. It says that the one who repeats a matter separates close friends. I guess most of us have been in that place where we were hurt because a confidence was broken. And I guess most of us have broken confidences as well. You know, we get told things, I've done it, you know, you get told things, you get into an animated conversation and suddenly you realize that you've said something that you really ought not to have said. It says that if we do that, close friendships can be broken by it. If we are to be people of peace, then one aspect of peace is that we keep confidences when they are shared with us. Now, I have to put my trustee hat on here and just remind everybody that Proverbs do have exceptions. You know, I mean, to be silly for a moment, if somebody says there's a building on fire across the road, but keep it confidential, of course you don't keep it confidential. And if you have, you know, a concern that abuse is going on, that people are being hurt, then it's really important within the church that we follow the proper procedures for these things. If a child or a vulnerable person is in danger, we don't keep that confidence. We don't keep that in confidence, but we do it properly in a way that preserves as much confidentiality as we possibly can. And that's what our church safeguarding policy is all about. What other bits of wisdom do we have? Don't befriend a person who is characterized by anger. And don't go about with someone who is hot-tempered, lest you learn their ways and they become a snare for your life. So, you know, we need to be careful. If we know angry people who are the sort of people who fly off the handle all the time, the book of Proverbs is saying, be very careful in the way that you deal with them, or you will become like them. Don't start mirroring their behavior. The Bible has so much warning about anger. I mean, the summary of the Bible's teaching on anger is that anger is not in itself a sin, but that every time we are angry, we are one inch away from sinning, because anger leads to sin so easily. Another one about confidentiality. Contend for your cause with your neighbor, but don't reveal the secret of another person. We're meant to be people who have causes. I hope there are things in your life that you are passionate about. There's enough in this world that needs people of faith to take up the cause. I mean, the whole thing about the environment that's in the news at the moment, we need Christians who are really, really passionate about this. And there are many other things as well. But what we're being told here is just do it. Be passionate about the things that are on your heart to be passionate about. Sometimes annoy people with them, because people don't like being told about things that matter sometimes. But beware. Be careful about what you say, because revealing other people's secrets does not make for peace in this world. And above all people, we are to be peaceful people. Now, I could go on with a whole load of other one-liners. You know, have a look through the book of Proverbs this week and just see which one-liners strike you, see which ones catch you out. And you go, oh, I need to do something about that one. But I guess this style of talking in one-liners, it's telling us that, you know, whilst it's true that as believers in Jesus, we see a big picture, we have a wonderful story to tell, which is a story that brings hope and is a story of peace, that actually the little bits of behavior matter to us considerably. It's the little things that bring about peace. We learn to be at peace with each other. We learn to be trusting to each other by one small thing after one small thing. So if one of those one-liners has spoken to us this morning, we're saying, yeah, I need to do something about that. That could make a really significant difference to how this church is. And the church becomes a slightly warmer Gulf Stream. And it starts to impact more on the people around us. The book of Proverbs wants to emphasize to us as well that being people of peace is good for us. It's not just that it makes us better people, in the sense that, you know, if our lives are being marked, we'd get a higher mark. I don't think God's into marking anyway. But in terms of who we are, the people we are, our health, our physical health, our emotional health, our spiritual health, being people of peace helps us. Those, it says, Proverbs 12:20, those who promote peace have joy. Having peace within our heart, working in ways of peace, actually increases our joy level. Now, I'm not saying that if you do one good peaceful thing today, you will feel happier afterwards. But what we are saying is that over time, as we learn these ways, we become more joyful. A heart at peace. This is Proverbs 14, verse 30. A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones. When we stop being peaceful people, it does something to our insides. It does something that affects us and hurts us. We don't just hurt the people around us, we hurt ourselves. Here's a nice one. Proverbs 17, verse 1. Better a dry crust with peace and quiet than a house full of feasting with strife. I wouldn't want to push that too hard. Poverty is not good. But if you are rich and you have a load of conflict, that's not a good place to be either. We're going to sing towards the end of the service today a song that has been around in the church for very many years. I learned it as a teenager. I think it actually is a bit older than that. It's the song, Make Me a Channel of Your Peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. It's known as the prayer of St. Francis. The historians tell us that St. Francis probably didn't write it, but never mind, it's been put onto his name. And the version that we're singing, I want us to think a bit about the words before we get there today. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled or comforted as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, with all my soul. I read something recently and I thought, wow, this is strong. This is speaking a word to me. It said that when we are listening to other people, too often we are listening so that we can say something back. You know, in our heads, we're working out how we're going to reply rather than actually thinking, do I really understand what this person is saying? Do I really understand how this person feels? I fear that far too often I come jumping in on conversations before I have really listened. So this prayer is saying, Lord, look, may I never want to be understood. You ever get frustrated? You don't understand me. Yeah, sometimes that's justified, but people of peace are people who want to understand. They want to know where people are coming from. So, you know, perhaps today we can do a bit of practicing after the service when you're chatting to somebody over coffee or whatever it is you're having. Just slow down your replies a bit and just think, do I really get what this person is saying? Am I listening to what's going on here? You know, may I never seek so much to be consoled as to console. I think many weeks, a lot of us come, and it happens to all of us, that we come into here or we talk to people and we desperately want to be comforted. We desperately want somebody to show some sort of concern for us. And when people get that right, it's amazing. It doesn't solve the issues that are in our life, but it makes a huge difference to us. You know, sometimes I just walk into the room and I think, I need a hug today. For some of us, being hugged is the last thing that you want in that circumstance. We're all different. And again, that's about respecting how we feel and trying to understand what people need. We don't want to be pushing things on people that they don't want. But actually, if we come here or wherever it is we're going, we're not just saying, well, how can I be comforted, but how can I offer some comfort today? And maybe I can practice giving other people comfort. Now, if you do that, you might make a mess of it. But then, you know, don't worry, you know, there's only one person in the church who can give away the wrong set of flowers. So, I mean, if you get it wrong, you know, that's what I was told. I don't believe it, but yeah, we can fear that we will make a complete mess of it when we do things. And yeah, often we do. But if we have a heart that's seeking to comfort others, you know, may I never seek so much to be loved as to love with all my soul. Now that's, you know, hear that right. It's not denying your need and my need to be loved. Yeah, you know, sometimes people fall into this trap of thinking, oh, because I'm a Christian, I've got to be loving other people all the time. You know, what did Jesus say? That we are to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Yeah. So actually, when we don't love ourselves and when we refuse the love that other people want to give to us, we actually don't do ourselves or them any good. But actually, to say I want to show some love to somebody today, I want to speak a kind word to somebody. Maybe there's something practical that I can do. And yeah, here's an experiment for today, perhaps. You know, if somebody wants to do something kind for you today, don't say, oh, no. Just accept it. Just receive it. Just be grateful. Take it as a gift from God. That will bless them and it will bless you as well. There's lots of other things in that prayer that we're going to set to music, which is so, so great. I want to finish by reading the complete Gulfstream quote to you, and then we'll sing something together. The previous paragraph was about some of the issues that the church faces today. I won't read that one. If Christians practice brotherhood among Christians, this would be one limited step in the direction of a new order. Think of what this would mean. Whenever one Christian met or dealt with another one, there would be a socially redemptive encounter. They would be like the Gulf Stream, softening the climate in all directions. Christians would be like yeast at all levels of community and in the public and private living. Of course, such a situation may lend itself to all kinds of exploitation and betrayals. But the Christians would be one of the strongholds of integrity in human relations and in a moral society. We're going to sing a song and we're going to pray together. Make me a channel of your peace.